Welcome, campers, to Camp Divination. We are your hosts. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Carly. Wee, wee. That's not a cricket sound.
It's close enough. Yeah, that or like chirp, a little squeak toy.
Chirp, chirp, chirp. Cricket sounds. Yeah. Sorry, Jordan. Once again. We're sans Jordan again, but either way, we're here and we're excited
to tell Jordan's story and discuss his story. So next time you see him, give him shit for it. I kid. Kinda. Anyhow, we're talking about Waverly Hills Sanatorium.
I was going to say, I don't think you should trust me because I mispronounce things on the regular, but I thought it was sanatorium. So I'm glad that in this case, I was at least justified. But this is on my bucket list ghost hunting locations. I want to go here so bad. Like, this is one of my top, I need to go here, ghost hunting locations.
It's a pretty rad place. Like, it's, it's very, very notorious for being a well-known haunted place located in Louisville, Kentucky, which actually during the episode, I'm not sure if anybody's complained about the way we pronounce Louisville. But Jordan brought up that we would probably get hated for the way we pronounce it. So again, apologies.
How did you pronounce it?
Louisville. But his thing was a lot of people from Kentucky call it some like Louisville. Louisville? Louisville, Kentucky.
But I feel like that's a regional dialect.
I mean, it is.
So right. Also, as a serial mispronouncer of things, I feel like you get a pass.
Oh, I butcher names so bad. So you know what? I think it's okay at this point. But
agreed.
I would absolutely love to go there too. And as we mentioned during the episode, like prices to get in are really cheap, especially if you go like for public investigations where they have it open to several, like multiple groups. Or if you want your own group, it's only $1,000 a night, which is really, really cool.
Yeah. Like, hey, let's get a group together and go investigate Waverly Hills.
Absolutely.
We can each chip in a little bit. Private group. Okay, I am so in. At some point, I'm going to be trying to sleep in the corner because you know me. I keep granny hours. I go to bed.
Yeah, well.
It's already past my bedtime right now.
It is. I appreciate you making an effort to stay up and do this. Even despite
every once in a while.
Jordan not being with us. I'm not gonna let it go. He's gonna be listening back and just snickering the whole time, like.
It'll be the theme of the episode,
right?
Okay, so do you want to give us a brief background?
Yeah, just for those that missed the episode, Waverly Hills is located in Louisville, Kentucky. It was built in 1910 is when construction started. Built and opened in 1912. To accommodate 40 to 50 patients at a time with tuberculosis. By the end of the 1920s, they had upgraded, built the place up to accommodate 400 to 500 patients. And it just over time became a place where people would go with this, obviously, as their final resting place, essentially. Well, not necessarily final resting place, but their pre-final resting place, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very notorious for, you know, just not taking very good care of the patients. It got so bad that even children of patients were being, you know, having to go and stay there while their parents or their, you know, caretakers basically died, you know, due to the disease. And by the 60s, finally, due to antibiotics, the amount of cases had dwindled down and they had to close its doors. And so after that, it was kind of, as we talked about during the episode, became our nursing home, essentially. And again, really bad treatment of patients and people there. And then eventually shut down. And then after that, it changed hands for a little while with different projects in mind until it got to the final owners now that have opened it up basically for investigations. And they take a lot of the money that they make from the investigations to just do repairs and try and keep this place up and running, which is really cool. I mean, obviously they're putting back into it and it's for the community and very popular, very well known at this point. So that's tonight's discussion. So we're going to deep dive a little bit on some questions, hopefully touch on some of the ghosts that have been seen there, and yeah, see what we can uncover.
So what I'm hearing is I would be doing my part to preserve history by ghost hunting there.
Exactly. Yeah.
There we go.
It's a landmark at this point, like a historical landmark. So
yeah. Yeah, it really is. Okay. Well, what questions do you have for me?
Well, we've got a couple questions that Jordan left us with as well in his absence. And so we'll try and touch on some of those and anything we kind of come up as we go through this.
Okay.
So we know kind of what's went on there. Obviously, a lot of people have died there. There's probably a lot of residual energy, a lot of negative energy due to mistreatment and things like that. So I guess first question being, how does the current energy of Waverly Hills impact those who visit or investigate?
Okay. I just dropped all of those cards. Okay. Oh, we have door knocker. So they are visitors. The snake is healing. Newspaper is storytelling. So that actually makes me wonder if I don't know that the current energy affects the investigators. And granted, I've never been there in person, so I can't say that for sure. But these cards would make me go back and think about the idea of us lending our energy to hauntings, or like the more collective belief, the more that people are paying attention to hauntings, kind of like feeding it. Because with the door knocker, which is a visitation, the snake, which is healing or a combination of energies, and then the newspaper, which is storytelling or an expose, it seems like the current energy is literally keeping the haunting alive. And that's not a bad thing. And that's also not to say that people don't experience some scary things there. It's just
right.
That's the current answer. It's like a symbiotic. Is that how you say it? Symbiotic? Symbiotic?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when a fish is swimming by a shark and they're working together, tag teaming this haunting. Mm-hmm. That's what it feels like to me, is that it's like it's a give and take. The spirits are there. And I think that some of them are probably more willing than others to like step up,
mm-hmm.
or maybe not step up, or like interact and give you those like jump scare moments. But it does seem like the energy of the ghost hunters themselves is playing into the hauntings just as much as the ghosts who are still there, making them more powerful, one could say.
Awesome. Yeah, I know that there's been several that have been seen by or identified by different groups that have went in.
Mm-hmm.
There was one that Ghost Adventures with Zach Bagans, they had identified a little girl.
Oh.
That was there. And then there's also the death tunnel.
The death tunnel.
And there that is said that there's a woman in white that basically it stays and, I guess, just haunts the place.
I want to go in that death tunnel so bad. It looks so scary. I would like,
right?
Just the pictures scare me. And yeah. I need to be there and I need to feel it and experience it.
It's a bit terrifying, I think, for sure.
Yeah, I think so too. And I need to feel the terror to the core of my being.
Absolutely. And then there's also a boy, Timmy, who roams the hallways and likes to play ball.
Mm-hmm. Did you catch my Timmy?
You had to. And then there's a mysterious man in white that drifts throughout the corridors. So I kind of want to play off of this last question.
Okay.
And obviously we're talking about some of these ghosts, these spirits that want to make themselves known.
Mm-hmm.
And some that basically sit back and don't want to interact or, you know, have anything to do with anything, really. So
yeah,
I would like to see if we can possibly, I don't know if we can contact any of these ghosts, but find out like why they remain there and what, like, I guess what their purpose is now, especially with people investigating.
Yeah, I can definitely do that. If you can give me one of that list so that I don't have to like decode.
Let's do Timmy. Who it is. We actually have a name.
Timmy. Okay. Timmy. Okay. All right. Timmy Waverly Hills. Why are you still there? Okay, Timmy's still there because he feels like he died too young. That first card was premature death. The second card is father. Ooh, then we have philandering man. That's interesting. Ace of Pentacles and abandonment. So, I would, based on these cards alone, not having been there or talked to Timmy myself, other than the cards, I would say that Timmy's still there because he feels like he died too young and he's got daddy issues, like pretty literally. Mm. So Timmy was probably there because he was sick, right? So that's probably why he was left there. But I would say that he specifically feels like his father abandoned him. And with the philandering man card, I wonder if I kind of just feel like... Because they had family days where the family could come and visit every now and then, right? Like, you know, they like roll the patients out into the sunshine or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I almost wonder if it was something like his dad came to visit with a new woman on his arm, or he flirted with one of the nurses and that felt a little bit like a betrayal to Timmy.
Maybe he had a new family.
Yeah. So Timmy felt like he's still there because he died too young and he feels hurt and betrayed. So I'm just going to ask real quick if there's anything else that he'd like to say as far as that story goes. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that one was pretty clear. Poor Timmy. He just wants to roll his ball across the floor like a creepy ghost child. Okay, so then we have violence, which or the Five of Swords, which would indicate... Well, it's fighting if it's not violence. And then the Ace of Cups, so that's poison and traveler. So that's interesting. So some sort of argument followed by a new beginning, a fresh start of sorts, or what looked to be a fresh start. The poison in this case I don't think is literal. I think that he's talking about his illness, tuberculosis, if that's what he had. Because, all right, yeah, I don't think that that's actual poison. But then we have the traveler card, which again would indicate some sort of visit. So that seems like, hang on, let me pull from the Memento Mori deck with this one too, because this feels like more of a story than I am fully picking up on right at this minute. So, okay, so... Timmy. So you know how there's stories about people who are like sad because they had an argument with their loved one right before they passed away?
Yeah.
I almost feel like, so obviously this isn't right before Timmy passed away, but I think that right before he got sick, there may have been some sort of argument between him and his father.
Okay.
So the card that's throwing me off is the Ace of Cups, because that one is pretty positive. That would indicate like if this was an argument, it would be like a new understanding between them. So maybe they did have an argument and they like had a father-son moment or whatever, but then Timmy got sick, which is the poison card. And then we have the card indicating that his dad came to visit him. So the other cards are the grave, which is normally that's being at peace.
Okay.
The crown is a yes card. It's the big payoff. So like the crown card is an indicator to me that like in the right direction ish. But then we have the casket plate, which is to remember me always, and then the newspaper, which is another storytelling card. So what am I missing is the question here. What am I missing? I'm missing a piece of this puzzle.
Well, let's figure it out.
Starvation. That makes sense. I feel like tuberculosis, don't you like basically choke to death on your own fluids? Plague. Okay, starvation, plague. That makes perfect sense. He got super fucking sick.
Mm-hmm.
Three of Wands and then True Friend. See, what an odd combination. It seems like someone there must have been really kind to him, and he's kind of holding on to that. Okay, I think it's twofold. I think one, I think he's hoping that his dad is going to come back to get him.
Mm-hmm.
But two, I think that somebody there was unexpectedly nice to him. I think that's what the Ace of Cups was from before. Like, because it is like an emotional offering of sorts, or a new opportunity, or a fresh chance. And I was thinking that it was the father. But if Timmy was already sick and he met someone at the sanatorium who kind of was like looking out for him or taking care of him, it would have given him even more motive to stay. And also, he feels young. Mm-hmm. So full disclosure, I didn't have time to listen to the episode this week. I've been pretty busy. I have covered Waverly Hills in the past, but I can't remember how old Timmy was. But the boy that I'm talking to feels young-ish, like 7 max, maybe. Do you know how old he was?
I don't, actually. But no, that's what, okay, I thought as well. And I was actually, okay, cool, curious if maybe he had made friends with maybe another younger patient there, another patient that...
That is such, like, a good... Here, let me ask that.
Maybe gave him hope, or, you know, they were both... I don't know.
Yeah, because there was some, like, strings of hope there.
Mm-hmm.
I will fully admit I was focused on the dad. So I was like, well, that doesn't make sense, because this seems like you didn't have nice feelings about your dad. Eight of Wands, that's fast-moving energy. Okay, illness, again, rational man. That seems like it's the dad. So the dad... Okay, so based on those cards, we have the Eight of Wands, which is a fast-moving energy, genetic illness, and rational man. I think that the second Timmy started seeming ill, his dad was like, off you go.
Mm-hmm.
Not having that, you know, like kind of like an immediate and abrupt thing. So let me just continue the conversation and see if maybe he made friends with anyone there.
Okay.
Okay, so the sextant is travel. The trunk is starting a new life, so it does seem like this was a pretty quick, like, yes, sent away.
Mm-hmm.
The crystal ball, poison again, so that's twice now from two different decks, I'll have you know. I have two decks that have a poison card, and it's come out both times. Again, I do not think that that is literal poison, right, in this case. I think it's talking about tuberculosis. And then revealing the truth. So that's interesting, because this is, I asked twice now if he made a friend there, and twice now, not really. It's more talking about being sent away. So I think that the main issue here is that Timmy is still dealing with the feelings of abandonment.
Okay.
And that's why he's still there. So yeah, he died too young, but I think that the real issue is the feeling that he wasn't wanted, or that he was sent away and abandoned. So, poor Timmy.
Yeah, makes sense, but yeah. It is sad, poor guy.
It is sad. Yeah, poor little guy. Please don't haunt me. Thank you.
Can we maybe try another ghostie?
Yeah, of course. Who do you want to talk to next? How about
the girl in the death tunnel? The woman in white.
The woman in white. I love a woman in white story. Okay, woman in white in the death tunnel. What say you? How fun.
So there was a story that Jordan had found. I forget where he had found it from. But it was like a blog post about a girl and her friend that decide to go. That's pretty killer.
Yeah, okay, so sorry, because y'all can't see my face right now, but I was shuffling and I pulled out my cards and I was putting my deck down, and the card that it like came flying out of the deck, which sounds dramatic and it annoys me because people are always going on about that. However, sometimes it happens and it's like, what the fuck? The card that flew out is genetic illness, and it's literally a woman in white. Mm-hmm. She's dead. Spoiler alert. Okay, sorry, continue.
It's kind of creepy, actually.
It is. I love it.
But so her and her friend decide to go and investigate. And so they like arm themselves with everything, and they're going down, they're walking through, and finally they decide to descend down the death tunnel. And as they do, they see this girl standing there, and she's like they actually hear her talking, like, to them. And as they're, like, going down, they're hearing all these whispers and stuff. And, like, our kind of, like, thought was maybe by the time they get to the end, it's these whispers are actually her talking to them directly. And so, but I just thought that was really cool. I mean, obviously, I didn't make really anything out. And then as quick as that happened, she disappeared and, you know, they left. But of course, they forgot to bring forgot to turn on anything that they were using aside from their flashlight. So,
of course, you get the best evidence when you're not prepared. Yeah. So, okay. So we have the chronic illness card is what came out with the woman in white while I was I was done pulling and it came out. And these cards are interesting. We have the Three of Wands, which is future planning, looking out towards the horizon, seeing where you want to go. And then we have greed. And the illustration in this card is a woman with death standing behind her. And death is like a skeleton, and it looks like he's like coming to grab her, like to possess her. And then we have the Nine of Cups, which is a card. It's usually like a wish granted type of energy. It's like you have it all type of thing, you know? But then we have murder.
Ooh.
Murder. So the woman in white, traditionally, women in white stories have kind of tragic backstories. And I don't know, because I actually haven't heard this one at all before. So I don't know that this falls in the normal woman in white. Obviously, I don't think that she killed her children like some of the other ones that we've heard of. Mm-hmm. But I would, based on those cards alone and no other information, I would theorize that potentially she was not a victim of illness and more a victim of foul play. Because those cards to me sound like she had a plan, a life plan. She was working towards said life plan, but somebody else had their eye on her specifically and cut that short.
Okay.
Let's see if I'm right. Let's ask my cards. All right.
Why would she be there then? Because I mean, this death tunnel is used. Well, was said to be used for like carting in food supplies and also carting out bodies, right?
So the thing is, she could have been a nurse.
Okay.
And she would have worn a white uniform, most likely, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could be wrong about that. That's mostly based off of war movies. But so my thought is that she could have been a nurse, and I think that it's very likely that she could have died there, but it maybe doesn't necessarily mean that she died from sickness.
Right. Maybe someone came on to her, she didn't want to pull it, you know?
Yep.
She didn't want any of it, and went a little too far, and she became a victim herself.
Yep. That's kind of what I'm thinking. Ooh, words have power. I was just talking. Ooh, the deer that's being on the right track. Okay, hold on. Plague doctor, protection against sickness, but also in this case, it could be a literal doctor. And then the harp is positivity, calming, good things. So this feels like another yes. And then the child card.
Ooh.
Perhaps she got pregnant with a doctor's illicit spawn. Wasn't there, hold on though, because Waverly Hills has a story. I'm fairly positive that there is a story from Waverly Hills that there was like a nurse. I thought she hung herself upstairs, but I am 99.9% sure that there's a story about a nurse who hung herself because she got pregnant out of wedlock. And so I don't know why she would be in the death tunnel, because I think she's seen up there, but also ghosts can move around. There's no reason she couldn't also be lurking in the death tunnel. So if you can find her name, I can ask specifically if it's her, and that would be cool as shit.
So
I'd be here for that.
Mary in Waverly Room 502. I'm looking here. Four men were involved in Mary's murder. The arrogant young doctor who got her pregnant.
Shit, yeah.
A hospital orderly and two members of the Westerly Hills Board of Trustees.
Okay, so are you basically telling me that there was an actual murder? Okay, I was wrong about the hanging herself. That's my bad. There was an actual murder based on an illegitimate spawn by a doctor. That's what I'm hearing.
That's what it looks like. Wow. So apparently her aborted baby was taken from her body and hidden in the basement with a number of other bodies waiting to be transported home.
So that could be why she's in the death tunnel looking for her baby, right?
Yeah, but it's saying that her ghost
unless she aborted her baby
502.
Yeah, but there's no reason she can't haunt
exactly
both
that's true. Yeah,
ghosts tend to wander, and a woman in white, like, here, let me just ask if it was Mary that we were talking to, because I
don't know. let's do that
Mary?
I think that'll help.
Is this you? The dog is loyalty, so I feel like the bats is family. Loyalty, family. The whip is, I mean, that's, oh, and the watch, feeling pressured, waiting. So the whip is almost like a feeling of, like, it's not torture, but, you know, like, literally cracking the whip, trying to appease people. That was a terrible description of the whip. I should revoke that.
It's fine. We'll just run with it.
Yeah, you know. But the watch is usually a feeling of it's a period of waiting. So I do think if this isn't Mary directly, then this is someone intimately connected to her. But there's enough cards here that give me family ties. So I would think yes.
Okay. Because I mean. Yeah, I mean, why not?
Bummer. Why not?
Yeah, that's crazy, though.
Murder on the hospital floor with illicit spawns. This is why I have the campaign Adults Against Spawning.
Do you think that the little... No, that'd be a huge stretch. I was going to say, do you think the little girl that Zach Bagan saw was this aborted child that was... it's because, I mean, like, you know, the scenarios where, like, they're, like, all of a sudden seen as, like, a certain specific age or whatever. It's talked about a lot with, oh my gosh, what's the hotel in Austin?
The Driscoll?
The Driscoll, yeah. Which I do want to do one on, but I know it's talked about, like, that little girl and then her, like, them seeing her as, like, basically, like, as an adult and stuff, too. But yeah, like, I mean, could it be anything like that? I highly doubt it. I'm assuming that's a whole different situation. But, like I said, there was that girl that they had seen as well. So
yeah, I don't know. So the cards that I pulled don't really, like, flow together.
Yeah.
There's not really any real answer. And to me, that's usually either we asked the question wrong or it's the wrong train of thought. So I would say no.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be cool, though.
It would be cool. It would be cool. Let's see. So, yeah, I mean, outside of that, like I said, we have that little girl and then the one man in white that's seen, like, drifting through the corridors. Mm-hmm. And those are, like, the most reported ones that are seen.
Do you want me to ask about the man in white, or do you want to ask... anything else?
Maybe about the man in white, just to get a little, you know, a little bit more information.
Okay. Ooh, the cage. That's fun. He feels like he can't move on. Oh, and the nest, because that it feels like home to him. So he feels stuck.
Okay.
And when I say he feels stuck, I don't believe that ghosts are actually stuck. I think that they can move on whenever they're ready, but sometimes spirits will stay behind until they work through whatever they need to work through. I don't personally hold the belief that ghosts are prevented from moving forward. So when I say that, please take it that way. But the nest is like a home type feeling. And then the next card is chiromancy, which is usually, I think of it as a card of, like, fate. Like, you met your fate. Like, what happened was meant to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But then we have the amputation saw, which is to save yourself from a toxic influence. or removing a toxic influence from your life. And then the cross, which is the burdens that you bear. So I would say that the man in white stays there because he's found some level of peace with where he's at. But it does seem like he probably is very troubled and does have a lot that he'll have to work through.
Okay.
So that, yeah, I would say, I don't know what he has to work through, but it just feels like the more traditional tormented soul type of spirit.
Right.
Where, like, restless doesn't feel like the right word because he seems, like, perfectly happy where he's at. But
content,
he also doesn't... Yeah,
he's, like... Contently restless?
It seems like he's happy staying in his misery to an extent. Like, and if I've encountered a spirit like that before, it is because they believe that that is what they deserve. Whether that's right or wrong... I'm right. Not here to argue ethics with a ghost. I mean, I will till
maybe
I'm blue in the
face.
Maybe
it's like punishing themselves at this point, maybe for something that they've done in the past. And
yes, exactly. That's kind of what it feels like. Where he's just like, "Well, this is I have to stay here. This is my home now." Mm-hmm. And then it seems like he's trying to right a wrong of some sort. I don't know what that wrong is, but that is how I would. That's how those cards feel to me.
Works for me.
Yeah, me too. All right, you want to do a couple other questions?
Yeah, just a couple other here. Are there any unresolved mysteries or secrets hidden within Waverly Hills that the cards can reveal?
Okay.
Okay, I know that's kind of pretty broad.
Let me ask for just... I'm going to ask for one. If there is one hidden or unresolved mystery... As I do tend to get confused if there are multiple spirits or, like, multiple plots going on. It takes me a while to work through them. I get there eventually, but we also don't want to be here all night. So
we ain't got time for that.
Nobody got time for that. Okay, is there one mystery that the cards can unravel for us? I feel like yes, because we're getting so many cards right now. How thrilling is this? Okay, I might pull from the other deck too.
Okay.
Dreams. Okay, so that's the Nine of Swords. So that's very anxious energy. We're talking like frantic almost. And then we have conflict. So frantic energy, conflict, illness again. Okay. The Chariot. You know that scene? Ooh, this card has a nurse.
Ah, okay.
It's called The Loving Woman.
Imagine if that one would have came up.
And brokenhearted. How thrilling. Okay, so the reference, you know how a lot of the time I'll get like pop culture references in my mind and I'm like, what are you? What are you doing here? This time I know exactly what it is because I have been 10 out of 10 stressed, okay? We're talking, I'm not sleeping, I'm sort of eating, stressed level, okay? Mm-hmm. And when I get to that point, my fallback is Halloween. And this particular time, I've been watching the 2018 version of Halloween. And at the beginning of that one, the podcasters come and they like show Michael his mask or whatever, but then it sets off all the other inmates. So we start this off with... the card is called Dreams, and it's the Nine of Swords. That is a card of anxiety or things not being what they seem. But specifically in this card, it was a woman, but we're just going to say it's a person who is plagued by demons, okay? Mm-hmm. And then we have conflict, which is where the Michael Myers reference is coming in because with the other inmates. And then genetic illness, the Chariot. Excuse me, sorry. But genetic illness is also the Two of Swords, which is making a choice. And the Chariot is driven action. And then we have loving woman and broken hearted. So this storyline can go one of two ways. There's some sort of uprising, for lack of a better word. There's some sort of uprising and potentially a nurse who genuinely meant well and looked after her patients was injured or potentially killed, and the leftover energy of that is regret for her death, or
okay,
or the nurse herself could have had something to do with the planning of it, with the broken heart. Like, she didn't like to see the way that they were treated. I'm going to pull from the other deck just to see if I can get a little bit more. I think that the first idea was... I think the first idea was closer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because... And I don't mean that in a, like, the Michael Myers reference. I do not mean that in, like, any of these people were, like, mentally challenged in any way. It just right. was, like, that is the pop culture reference that came to mind. So yeah. It just seems like an out-of-control group of patients or inmates for, you know.
That's absolutely fair.
So, can you explain this mystery with the nurse? Okay, so crossroads, again, a decision being made. Mm-hmm. The nest, which is to protect something, so that's interesting. Or it can also be a home, but in this instance, it's to protect something. Cemetery can either be literal death, or I usually think of that as resting easy. Crystal ball, that's usually intuition. Hagstone, seeing what's not there. Okay, so I'm going to go with my first theory, and this could be entirely wrong. So, listeners, please take this with a grain of salt, because none of those cards were an exact yes to me. It's more like, what do you think happened? And I already said what I think happened. I think that there was a group uprising of sorts of the patients, and that a nurse was killed in the process, and there was a lot of regret over her death because she was a good nurse. So... I'll just ask to confirm instead of asking for more details. I'll just ask to confirm because they were like, that was a bit of a sassy reply of like, we already told you what's happening. Why are you double guessing? Rude. Is this correct? The bone house, the safe haven, trunk, secrets revealed. Syringe, protection from sickness. See, that's not a yes or a no, and I need a definite answer right now. I don't like these half answers. That makes me crazy. Frog is transition, the mort bell, and the door knocker. If I get haunted tonight, I'm going to be pissed, okay? All y'all ghosts, no visiting me, because that's what this is seeming like. We'll come and tell you. We'll come and tell you. Do you want to know?
You got to lay it down. That's what I always do in my house. It's like, hey.
See?
I don't need you right now. And then it stops.
Exactly. It's exactly what I do. I wake up at night, and if there's a ghost hovering, I say it's literally fuck off. Every once in a while. Okay. Actually, it happens like semi-regularly. I'll get these like dream visitations. It's a whole thing. But I am not in the mood for a dream visitation tonight. So I heartily say, I don't want to see. I don't want to see. Thank you. You could just tell me yes or no, and we could be done here. But I'm not going to push it because I feel like that's just asking for trouble. So they'll keep their mysteries. Thank you very much. But I do think a nurse was murdered, and I think that they feel bad about it, which is why they don't want to tell me.
Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that's probably not the only thing, but...
I'm sure that's not the only thing, but since I asked for just one...
Exactly.
That is the one, but there is the sense of, like... There is the sense of, like, regret and not wanting to explain what happened, because then the spirit or spirits that feel responsible have to like face what they did, and I don't think that they want to, which is why that was all the like, we'll show you. No, you won't show me. You will stay in your sanatorium, please and thank you. Boundaries.
So let's end on this, because I think this is actually a really good way that we can piggyback off of this. And I know we're over on our time, but what guidance do the cards offer for those seeking to connect with the spirits at Waverly Hills?
I love that question. I'm obsessed with that one. What guidance? Okay, so we have old age, which is also the Three of Pentacles, the moon, The Sun, Broken Hearted, Dreams Again, motherfuckers. Nay. Nay. Get out of here with that. I'm going to be so upset if I'm haunted tonight. Just kidding. I'm not. I'm going to get online and be like, I was haunted. I recorded with Ryan and I was haunted. Okay, so the Three of Pentacles is usually collaboration and teamwork. So it does seem like the spirits who are at Waverly are willing and open to engaging and collaborating with the ghost hunters or the people who are going with an open mind looking to have communication with them. We have the Moon, which is seeing through illusions, or it can also just be a cheeky reference to nighttime. Sometimes it's anxiety. And then followed by the Sun. So with that, I would say that there's no real reason to fear the spirits who are there. They're not looking to hurt you. They're not looking to, like, I mean, it's fun to be scared. I like it when I get scared. But they're not looking to scare you or hurt you in any way. It would seem to me, with Broken Hearted being right after that, that they are just, they're still processing what happened to them, and they're more than willing to talk about that. But so I would say that the advice from the cards is to go in with an open mind and be willing to experience different sides of the ghost than you may have heard before, because people get used to a certain storyline or a certain set of ideas, and they don't allow room for anything else. So
of course,
go in with an open mind. See if you can connect with these spirits in a different way, and maybe allow them to share their pain with you instead of just like, oh, it touched me, you know? As I actively am like, don't you fucking come in my dreams, ghosts.
Right.
How dare. I mean, still. But yeah, the Dreams card is also the Nine of Swords, which is a card of anxiety. So again, they're not really looking to scare. It's just like, that's just a byproduct of, like, it's the nature of the beast if you're in the paranormal world. And I feel like some locations, especially Waverly, people are drawn to because other people have had scary encounters, and people are going looking for the same experience because it is fun to get scared. And
of course,
I think that the advice from the cards is to see if you can have a different experience there and see if you can genuinely connect and not just have a jump scare moment.
Awesome. I think that's a great answer. Yeah, which I think, like I said, kind of piggybacking off of what we were getting before, and you about to be haunted all night.
I totally am.
I think it's a good way to take it. I mean, especially for those planning to go or planning to investigate, or even just trying to contact the ghosts, like we've been trying to do here.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's a good approach to take. Be open and be willing to see another side.
I agree. Be open-minded. See what happens. I think I often stumble onto locations and get different stories that people have heard. And it's not because I'm doing anything clever or unique or I'm like so special. It's just I go in to say, what do you want to talk to me about? Without any of the preconceived ideas of what I'm going to expect. So if you go in,
I like that.
Like that, you may have an even more rewarding experience than you would have had if you went in expecting to get the pants scared off you.
Also, if you do, please report back.
Yes, please.
We're always down to hear your stories as well. And with that said, I think that's going to wrap up this week's episode of Camp Divination, Waverly Hills Sanatorium.
Whoop, whoop.